Way through some books in the New Testament. We were there for a number of years. And as we did that, I'm going, you know, I haven't spent the time in the Old Testament that I think we really should. So, I mean, we worked through Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and it's like, we were there for a long time in the New Testament. But, you know, we really need to preach the whole Word of God, so we're going to Isaiah, which means we'll be in the Old Testament now for probably a couple of years, because we're not going to get through this quick. But that's okay. We will take, you know, the occasional side trip for various holidays and special events. The Lord leads us to take those breaks, but we're going to keep coming back to Isaiah until we work our way through it. Now today, we're going to look at Isaiah, the prophet, as opposed to the book. So let's just bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and then we'll take a look at Isaiah. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word, for the blessings that we have in it. Lord, you reveal yourself. You give us that direction which so many of us are seeking and which we all desperately need. It's here in your word. And we thank you for it. Lord, now as we come to study your word this morning, as we look at the prophet Isaiah, Father, I ask that you would speak through me and anoint me, that I might speak your truth and might say those things and speak on those things which your people need to hear, that they can better understand your word, that they can understand your wisdom and your truth, which surpasses that of man. Father, we pray that each person here would be blessed and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Isaiah. First off, it's a big book. Okay, it's the third largest book in the Bible. Psalms, Jeremiah are bigger. Now, Moses wrote more, but he wrote a bunch of books. But for one single book, Isaiah is number three. Now, they generally in the Old Testament refer to the Old Testament previously, the Jewish people, as the Law and the Prophets. The Law, that's Moses. That's what Moses wrote down under the direct guidance of God. He was up in the mountain. God gave him the Ten Commandments. That's not all that he gave him. He just didn't spend... He didn't spend 40 days up in the mountain and come down with, you know, a paragraph, okay? But he had the Word of God. And God directed him to share it with the people of Israel. And Moses wrote it all down. And that's referred to as the Law. Then we have the prophets. And we have what we call major prophets and minor prophets. What's the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet? Your volume of work. It's pretty much the way it works out. If you wrote a lot, you're called a major prophet. Isaiah's the top level of the prophets in the Old Testament. He is probably one of the most respected prophets. Just a little bit behind Moses. Moses is the most respected in the Old Testament. But Isaiah is right there in the first bunch. After you might see Elijah and Elisha listed there, but they didn't do necessarily a lot of writing. Or as much as some others. But Isaiah, he wrote a lot. Now, he's got an interesting name. Yahweh It's salvation, is what Isaiah translates. Yahweh is salvation. And we look at the message that he writes. As we work our way through this long, long, long book, some of you are going to say, Pastor, do we have to read the whole thing? Yes, you do. Before next... No. I would like you to be reading this so that you are familiar with it. It's not that long. It's only this much. See? That's not a whole lot. But it is God's Word. And from start to finish, as is the whole of the Bible. The interesting thing about Isaiah, the book, and Isaiah the man, is the focus on the holiness of God. The Holy One of Israel is the key phrase that is scattered throughout the book of Isaiah. 25 times Isaiah uses that phrase to identify God. The Holy One of Israel. He wasn't just the God of Israel. He was the Holy One of Israel. He's holy. Most of us here today probably have a pretty poor concept of holy. We certainly know that the world today has a really poor concept of what's holy. A lot of the world thinks holy means crackpot. It means somebody who has weird ideas and, you know, eats a Fig Newton once a month. Or maybe grasshoppers like John the Baptist, you know. Well, honey on that goes down good. Holy. Well, yeah, Isaiah did do some of that weird stuff. I mean, he did walk around for 3 years wearing nothing but a loincloth. No shoes. A loincloth. Not the most comfortable and warm of garments, you know, while he's living in Jerusalem. What does he need? It gets cool there, too. But he saw God as holy. And we need to recognize just what is holiness. It means that there is a separation. Holy means set apart for God. How can God be set apart for himself? Well, he is set apart from creation. He is unto himself. It also alludes to the righteousness that he cannot stand for unrighteousness and for sin. It can't be in his presence. You know, God is holy. What does that mean? What are we saying when the Holy One of Israel? It means that God is indeed going to hold them accountable. But he's the Holy One of Israel, which means that there is also hope. There's this relationship. Even though he's set apart, there's this intimate tie. And this discussion of holiness and this and the being held accountable, the judgment, if you would, is going to be discussed and looked at. And a lot of prophecies are going to be about this. But there's also going to be incorporated into this hope and blessings. Hope and blessings as never before. We're going to see how it's God lays out through the prophet Isaiah the future. What's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is that the Son of Man is going to come. He foretells the birth of the Messiah. He foretells how God's house will be a house of prayer for all nations, and on how the Son of Man will indeed be the suffering servant and will suffer for our sins. This is all in here. A lot going on. We have this tale of judgment and hope. We have eschatology. A lot of people here like to study eschatology. Want to know all about the end times. Well, Isaiah talks a lot about it. In fact, Isaiah talks about a lot of stuff that the writers of the New Testament grab a hold of and say, look at what he said. Isaiah is the most quoted and referenced book from the Old Testament. The New Testament quotes it or references it 85 times. I printed out all of them, and it's like 5 pages, just listing the references. And then we look, and we see that there's 61 different passages that are quoted. Because some of them are quoted the same one quoted a couple different places, but there's 61 different ones. So it's not just, you know, 85 times we referred to the same verse. 12 of the books have direct quotations, and 18 of the books have quotes or allusions or paraphrases. Only 7 out of the 27 books have absolutely none. No reference to Isaiah. You can't have the New Testament without the book of Isaiah. You'd have to take out your scissors and cut out a good chunk of the book. So Isaiah is an important book. And it deals with the holiness of God. And it deals with judgment that is coming and with the hope to carry us through the judgment. But who is this guy? You know, I mentioned that he's some guy who's going to walk around for 3 years with nothing but a loincloth. You know, why? You know, maybe he's just some guy who, you know, is kind of down on his luck or whatnot. Actually, it's believed. Now, it's not laid out for certain this, but we think that Isaiah's father, this guy, a guy named Amoz, was actually a younger son of Amaziah. Now, Amaziah is the 9th king of Judah. Uzziah is the 10th king. Amoz is his younger brother. And Amos's son is Isaiah. That means he's of royal birth, we think. We certainly get that impression where we see throughout the book of Isaiah that Isaiah has unprecedented and easy access to the kings. He kind of comes and goes as he pleases. He's kind of wandering around the palace for a long time. Because we see that in chapter 1, verse 1, that there are four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. These are four guys who are king during the time of Isaiah's ministry. Now, while he's ministry, this ministry takes a minimum of 30-some years. It's probably closer to 40 or 50 years over the total course. We're talking roughly, now, about 740 B.C. to about 700 B.C. And it's guessed that he actually dies sometime in around in the late 680s. Under Manasseh, he's actually martyred. I mean, that's what they think, is that he was martyred at that time. Now, 40, 50 years of ministry, of prophesying to four different kings, living in the palace, having basically unrestricted access to king. And yet it's at one point in time he's walking around in a loincloth. And they were very much a society who recognized clothing as a status symbol. See, this is why I wear this high fashion Hawaiian shirt. It's a status symbol. See, if you can pull off something like this, that means that you're of high status. You know, people of low status wear these things around their neck. That's not the way our society works, is it? No. Was here, you know, people wear, you know, $2,000 suit with this noose around their neck. And that's how you can tell that they're important. Well, if you walk around dressed like this, people, you know, like they pull out money and they want to say, here, can I help you? That's the way we identify who's in need in our society, isn't it? By the way they dress? In part? In part. It's the same then. Yet, in obedience to God's command for 3 years, you know, he didn't even wear what was the traditional garb of most prophets. He, nothing but a loincloth. No shoes. No other garb, covering. To set the example. Isaiah, what we see as we go through, was somebody who listened to God and recognized his holiness, and it truly affected him and identified him for who he was. He uses beautiful language and lays things out in a manner which shows that he is very well schooled and of far better than the average intellect. I mean, this man is probably extremely bright, besides being a prophet. He was smart. He was articulate. He had wealth. He had power. So he wasn't in the preaching biz. But he wasn't the televangelist that said, send me more money. He was the guy who just did what it was that God showed him to do. This is Isaiah. And he suffered for God. You don't walk around in a loincloth for 3 years and not suffer. And there were times when he wasn't on the good side of the king. But again, it was family, and we can't choose our family, so we, you know, either we love them or we kill them. I mean, that's the way it was working at that time, you know. But he didn't. None of the kings, till we got to Manasseh, felt the need to put him down permanently. We just sent him away for a little while. But Isaiah, quoted, 67 times. 18 times alluded to in the New Testament. And is recognized as one of the preeminent prophets of his day at the time and throughout the history of Israel. Now there's some questions about whether the second half of Isaiah was actually written by Isaiah. Something people will say, some of the textual criticisms will say, it has too much detail. It can only have been written sometime later. Again, these quite often are people who don't believe that God actually knows what's going to happen and can tell his prophet to write it down. They think that that the prophet had to have been somebody who wrote it later. But historically, Isaiah was always seen as one book. There was never any question until we got to textual critics who, to say that it wasn't Isaiah that wrote it, and over the course of his ministry of 30, 40, 50 years. And Isaiah is nowhere in the New Testament questioned of being the author. So for our purposes, as we go through this, I'm going to treat Isaiah as being the author of the entire book of Isaiah. I may, one more time or twice, depending, feel necessary, address the idea that the latter half, or chapters 40 through 66 anyways, have another author. When we get there, we might look at that. That's a year away at least. So we may revisit that topic then. But I'm not in any way convinced by any arguments I've read or seen that there's any author of this other than the prophet Isaiah, that he wrote it under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that God is actually the ultimate author and Isaiah is just the tool that he used to put the prophecies to paper. And that's what the book of Isaiah is. It's prophecy. It's God's word spoken forth. Some of it is prophetic in the sense that it tells what's going to happen. But some of it is prophetic in that it's explaining to us the nature of God. And we're going to be able to see that throughout the book of Isaiah. Now, the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh is salvation, and judgment, and hope for all nations, are all interwoven throughout this wonderful book. And we're going to spend our next couple of years going through this chunk by chunk. We will read every verse. We won't necessarily take apart each and every verse, but we will read each one and deal with it in context. And I want to encourage you throughout this time to become familiar with it. Read through this book more than once. You need to know this so that when I come up here and I preach this from this, you say, Pastor, what you're talking about there, what you're saying, doesn't go with the context. Because if I'm off base, it's your job to say, hey, Pastor, hold on. Don't trust me implicitly. I will mess up. We have the privilege and the blessing of having God's word written out here for each of us to have. In unprecedented fashion in this day and age, if you want the word of God, you've got it. Here in this country anyways. We're going to give you God's word. every Sunday when you come in here. But it's also up to you to read it and be familiar with it so that you can hold me accountable and John accountable and whoever else is up here preaching. Because God's Word is not something which changes. It's the same. Now our application, because our lives change, and we might see something this time, the fifth time we read Isaiah, that we didn't see the first four times. Why is that? It's not because God's Word changed, it's because we've changed. But it is living, it is fresh, it is new. And I'm going to ask you again to start reading through Isaiah so that you can be familiar with it, so that you can see if I am not treating God's Word the way I ought, because I need you to hold me accountable to that. And you will have the added blessing of getting much more out of the messages. This really isn't a typical sermon by any means. This is much more of an introduction to Isaiah, an encouragement to you to check out this prophet whose name means God is salvation. Because in this book we will see that God is indeed the salvation, not just Israel, but all of mankind. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And today as we leave this place, I ask that you would put in each of us a hunger to study your word, to read the book of Isaiah in particular. Lord, I pray that you would put that desire on each and every one of us, that we would read through it, it would become familiar to us. Lord, not just those key passages which are often quoted, but Lord, might we see the entirety and the context and see how these passages, when we look at them in the context of where they are, how the fullness of the meaning comes out. Lord, might we, your people, be faithful in truly seeking our direction from you by going to you and your word and actually reading it. Lord, bless us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.